Our first reading is from 1 John 4, 7 to 19. I'll give a little time. Please try and find that. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us.
People of God, let us pray. God, you love us. You love us, and you sent your Son to show us how much you love us. And so open our ears and open our hearts that we might hear your word, that we might experience your love, and that we might share your love with others. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our mission statement says that we are called to share and celebrate God's love. But we're going to separate sharing and celebrating, not because they have to be separated in general, but because you get a sermon on each. We are called to share God's love. This is one of those commands that we've heard over and over and over again in our lives. God is love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. But what does it mean to share God's love? How do we do that? Who do we share God's love with? And where are the places that we are called to share that love? I think we perhaps need to back up a little bit and get clear about what we mean when we speak of God's love. What is the love of God that we are supposed to be sharing? What experiences have you had with being loved by God? What moments in your life have you known that you were beloved? When you have felt deeply loved by God or by someone else? The love of God, we are told, is greater than all human love. Human love, no matter its depth, no matter how steadfast it is limited. Human love is limited because we are imperfect and because we are not immortal. Human love, no matter its depth, comes to an end eventually, except that God's love is without end, we are told. And so God's love is without limit, and yet the only way that it seems that we have to be able to understand God's love is to equate it with the love that we can experience from other people. And so we say that most often in Scripture, we compare the love of God with the love of a parent. Not exactly one for one, but that God's love is like this. We can begin to understand a bit more of the love of God by reflecting on the love of a parent in perfection. Again, it's important to understand that that just scratches the surface of what God does. It just scratches the surface of who God really is. We can also glimpse the love of God just a little bit when we think about a friend who has deeply loved us well. The friends in our lives who have really understood us and stood by our side. God loves us like that in perfection as well. Scripture says that God is love. That God is love, not that that is all that God is, but that all love comes from God. We understand love at all because God loved us first. It's also important to remember that that means that God is the one who takes the initiative. God loved us first. And so we are loved by God. We know how to love other people imperfectly because God loved us before we were able to love anyone else. This love of God is not a theory. It's not a theological construct to think about up here in your head and not put down into who you really are. Because the love of God is rooted in action. The love of God is rooted in the sending of the Son, in sending Jesus into the world. The love of God is experienced not just in the abstract, but in the person of Jesus who came into this world. Love in this context, then, is not merely emotion or a warm fuzzy. Love in this context is action and relationship. Love is seeing, really seeing somebody, caring, and acting for the good of someone else. Love is acting for the mutual flourishing of people. Let you think on that for a second. Mutual flourishing of other people. That is what God's love looks like. That means that even our enemies, even the really difficult people in our lives, are the people that we are supposed to act with love towards. We are called to share God's love, to act with love, in love, towards others, not just the others that we like, not just the others that we feel comfortable with, but anyone and everyone we come in contact with is an opportunity to act with love. But we want to push back, right? The disciples did too, by the way. Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? They asked him. as many as 7? But who is my neighbor? Jesus was asked. Even the disciples wanted to put a fence around the expectation of love. Even the disciples wanted to say, but surely, Jesus, you don't mean those people over there. What if, they wanted to push back, I'm betrayed? What if they attack first? What if they refuse to act for my good? Am I still obligated to act in love? The hard answer that Jesus gives is yes, even if they seek to harm you. Jesus commands that we are to love our enemies and to pray for those who would persecute. And then he didn't just tell us to do it, but he lived it. Jesus didn't just tell us, do what I say. Jesus said, do what I do. Because it was even in death that Jesus forgave. Jesus, having been crucified, said, Father, forgive, for they do not know what they are doing. Loving those who hate us is not something that comes naturally to any of us. It is hard enough on some days, on our best days, to love the people that we like really well, isn't it? Because when we're in a bad mood, it's really hard to love people, even the people we love the most. And so it is difficult to imagine loving those that we do not like, those who hate us. It is difficult because our love is always imperfect, and yet we are called to share God's love. Sharing God's love with others requires both word and deed. We must act in love, yes. We must work for the good of others on their behalf. We must be there for others, showing up and supporting, nurturing and caring, and acting in love towards others. Serving without expectation of repayment, without asking what's in it for me, is a good place to start. However, loving also means being willing to share a part of ourselves. It's not just in being willing to serve someone else. It might also be in allowing them to love you back. Loving also includes being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to share life, being willing to connect on a real level with others. Sharing God's love means being willing to talk about God's love. Sharing God's love means that we are willing to say to someone else what God has done for us. Now, the challenge of this is that more often than not, we want to make that abstract too, right? We want to talk about how Jesus died on the cross. We don't necessarily want to talk about our particular sin that Jesus has forgiven, because it's much harder to be real and authentic and let other people see even our warts than it is to act in love in some abstract way. Do to others as you would have them do to you is the universal starting point of love. Jesus didn't originate the golden rule. I'm sorry if you thought that was true, but he didn't. It's actually earlier in scripture. And almost every other faith tradition has some form of do to others the way that you want to be treated. That means that we choose our behavior. We choose our responses to other people. We do not act on instinct all the time. We have the ability to slow down and not react, but to choose how we respond. Jesus assumes that a part of our living faithfully will include paying attention to those automatic responses that we have. Notice that Jesus assumes when he's talking to his disciples that we are never the aggressor. Jesus doesn't give advice to his disciples on what they should do after they smack someone. Rather, he says, if someone hits you, this is what you should do. Jesus does not assume that we are the aggressor. His advice is what we should do if we are harmed, if we are threatened, not in what happens if we lash out first. If we are lashing out first, that's a different conversation about forgiveness and our need to seek it. That's probably where you should begin if you're prone to lashing out. But Jesus assumes that as we grow in our faithfulness, as we grow in our relationship with Him, that we will grow in our ability to respond with grace and dignity and love towards other people. Learning to slow down our reaction, learning to quiet our tongues, learning to consider what we will say or how we will react is a matter of faithfulness and love. Jesus assumes that his followers will meet with challenge and maybe even persecution. Jesus assumes that it is not easy to be a human being in this world. He assumes that we are going to be challenged for our faith, but that we are not to ever see ourselves as victims. Jesus says that you may well be abused. You may well be victimized for your faith, but you do not have to interpret yourself as a victim. We are not to be shaped by the hostility of others. Jesus looks us in the eye. He hears our stories and says, but you don't have to allow those things to define who you are. It is an act of great courage if you are smacked on the cheek to turn and offer the other as well. It is an act of great courage in choosing the power of love over hatred to refuse to strike back, but also to refuse to be cowed. Choosing to act in love in the face of fear is revolutionary. Be merciful, Jesus said. Be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. This is right after he's talking about people taking you to court to sue you, harming you, physically striking you. After he lists off all of these possibilities, Jesus says, be merciful, because God is merciful. We don't often count the things that have been forgiven of us and then go out and forgive someone else. But Jesus says that's where we should start. We should start by thinking about the things that have been forgiven of us and then consider whether we can forgive someone else. As those who follow Jesus, we are called to share this love with a broken world. That means that more and more, as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our ability to love, we should be acting in love towards others. We should be courageous. Not only in our actions and living our faith, but in what we are willing to say about our faith to others. I wonder, then, how I need to change in order to grow in my ability to act in love, to share God's love with others. What has to change in you for you to grow in sharing God's love with someone else? Some of you are great at acts of mercy and service. You will give any amount of time and energy for someone else, but you never tell anybody that you do it out of God's love, because sharing verbally scares you to death. There are others of you who speak easily of what God has done for you, and yet you hesitate to go one step further and serve a little bit more. You know your own heart. You know what your challenges are. You know what makes you anxious. You know when you are afraid. You know when you are reactive and speak or act rather than thinking calmly about the response that you want to have. You are well aware of the missed opportunities that you had this week, of the moments that you could have acted in love and you chose or didn't choose, you just reacted and did something else. You are well aware of those opportunities if you take a moment and reflect on them. We are called to share God's love in word and in deed, in telling your own story, and in being willing to act in love, with love, towards someone else in real and tangible ways. Look around your life. Look around the life that you are living. Who do you know that needs a little bit more of your time or energy or love? How can you act in love towards someone else this week? Who is that prickly, difficult person that you need to choose a different way with? You can act in love. You can choose to be a more loving individual. One of the challenges of saying that we are called to share God's love is that's such a big statement. It could mean anyone and everyone and anything and everything, couldn't it? If God is love, then anything at all could count. The challenge with things becoming so abstract is that that means that they never become concrete. And so I want you to think about one person, or one circumstance, or one opportunity that you have. Not the theory that God is love and I should love everyone the way that God loves me, but I should love this person with the love that God has loved me. What do you need to say? What do you need to do? What opportunity have you missed this week? What opportunity would you take for the coming week? Brothers and sisters, we all love because God loved us first. We are called to share God's love without qualifiers and without constraints. Let's pray. Gracious God, you have loved us beyond our imagination. We understand that you are love, and yet we confess that we do struggle. We struggle to act with love towards others. We struggle to speak your words of love to others. And so give us courage, give us peace, and give us patience and grace. In your name we pray. Amen.